Kings FM. That was, who was that? That was Alicia Dixon. The Boy Does Nothing. Before that, it was Sia, Elastic Heart. And before that, Kelly Clarkson. And Breakaway, Mark Searby is with us today. He's here every Friday to do his film and Blu-ray stroke DVD review.
Yes.
We've just been talking about Marlon Brando.
Yes.
And how good he was in the early part of his career.
Yeah.
Films like On the Waterfront, excellent film.
Yeah, The Wild One.
Streetcar Named Desire.
The Godfather. We can go on with the early ones. Yeah, the later ones, maybe we won't talk about.
Well, you need to be a bit more picky. I mean, The Godfather was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was okay in that. It was all right. I mean, Yeah.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about Marlon Brando.
Mm.
Are we, really?
No.
We're here to talk about some films.
Some new films.
Have you seen any good ones?
I've seen some. It's a really good week this week.
Okay.
A really good week.
So you've had a bit of difficulty deciding on which ones to talk about?
Well, cinema-wise, no. That's fine. We've got two really good ones. DVD, been a bit of a tough week to choose, but I've gone with one that I think the whole family will like.
Okay.
So, shall we start at the cinema?
Start at the cinema. Why not? Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Blade Runner 2049.
Ah.
Yes.
I've been hearing good things. On Facebook, one or two of my friends have said, could this be the best film I've seen this year? Do you agree with that?
Oh.
You're going to disagree with that?
No. Okay. I completely agree. In all honesty, it's knocked La La Land off the top of my ongoing top 10 films of the year. I was expecting it to be great, but about 2 hours in, I was wowed, and it exceeded my expectations. That's how good it was. We should say that, obviously, this is set 30 years after the first Blade Runner film, hence the 2049. It's about a young and updated model Blade Runner, simply known as Kay, who's played by Ryan Gosling, who's assigned to track down a missing child. Long-buried secrets are discovered, and along the way, he comes face-to-face with an old Blade Runner called Rick Deckard, played by Harrison Ford. This basically takes 99% of sci-fi films that have been made in the past 10 years and throws them in the bin. It's that good. Basically, what it's done is, because of it's all AI synthetics, and so it's taken the idea of who am I, what am I doing here, and moved it on. So now all of these Blade Runners, which are synthetic AIs, are basically, they know why they're there, they know why they're programmed. So what they're trying to understand is, can they have a previous life? They know that these memories are imprinted in them, but is there something more to that? So it comes down to, can these androids be humans? Or, like the book originally, do androids dream of electric sheep? So it's got all of these big questions swirling around this. Well, if you boil down the story, it's just a police procedural drama about a missing child. Right. That's it.
Is it action-packed, as it were?
Do you know what? It's not.
Okay.
It is not action-packed. It's 2.5 hours. Now, I know people are going to say that's long. It's really not. I sat there transfixed for 2.5 hours. There's a couple of action scenes, nothing major. But what it does is it slowly builds this tension, rising all the time. And you just feel it pushing on you, just feel it. And everything is told through little moments in the film. So little conversations, not long conversations, little conversations. But more importantly, a lot of it is told visually. So the story is being told in the background or in the foreground with visuals, and we don't see many films like that nowadays. You know, it takes a chance. It says, right, you're going to have to sit forward and pay attention to this film. And I think, you know, that it does it in spades, really. And what I will say is, if you're going into it, don't read too much into it. You know, read the synopsis, what I'm saying now, but don't read any more into it, because you will be wowed by it all. You really will. And speaking of wowed, the cinematography in this is incredible.
Right.
It's weird because it's dark, it's grey, it's gloomy, yet there's kind of like a cold, hard, clinical sexiness to it as well. Wow. Almost like what J.G. Ballard would write about, to be honest with you. So there's a lot of conflict going on, even when you're looking at it, but it is stunning to look at. Absolutely stunning. And it's all done by Roger Deakins, who did the James Bond, the recent James Bond film, so you know it looks good. We've then got this soundtrack to it by Hans Zimmer. He's not, Vangelis is not doing it this time. It's Hans Zimmer. And it's like this constant rumble. I mean, it's so fantastic. It just couples together with the cinematography, amazing. It couples together with the storyline, which is slowly built. So that you've got all of these things slowly, slowly building. And it just... it just bombards you with it all. I mean, it is absolutely fantastic.
I can tell you like it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, as I said, I was excited going into it, but coming out of it, I was like, okay, Denis Villeneuve, the director who did Prisoners, Sicario, Enemy, Arrival last year, honestly, give him any film he wants to do, because after this, he can handle it. I honestly think this is the best film I've seen this year. I think it's one of the best sci-fi films of the past 10 years as well.
Well, that's a pretty strong commendation from you, isn't it?
I know.
Is it available to see at IMAX cinemas?
It's in IMAX, in 2D, it's in 3D.
It's in 3D as well.
What I would say is see it on the biggest screen with the biggest sound system, because it is totally worth it.
I will do that. You'll be surprised, because you'll come back one Friday and I'll have actually seen one of the that you've been talking about. So what's the second film?
Okay, so a huge change here. This is a film called The Glass Castle. It's a story about a family of non-conformist nomads who struggle to live their lives in America thanks to an eccentric mother and an alcoholic father who stirs the child's imaginations to take their mind off poverty. So it's a tough watch. Very, very tough watch this is. The film's told from the viewpoint of one of the young girls in it, and it's split into three time frames. So the first time frame is when the girls are really young, they're happy-go-lucky, they don't really understand what's going on with their parents, they just know they're being pulled out of school, and they're off into the American desert and, you know, sleeping under the stars and having all loads of really good fun. But at the back of it, it's got these problems with the parents. The second time frame is when the kids are teenagers and they start to understand that actually our parents are not normal parents. They've got their problems. But what happens is the parents won't let them go. So there is a scene halfway through where one of the children wants to leave to college and she has to escape in the middle of the night because the parents won't let her go, basically. And it's a harrowing moment because the father comes out. He's incredibly drunk. And he sees her getting into the car and starts chasing after her and throwing bottles. I mean, it's just a horrible moment because you think these kids are being forced to be adults before they should be.
Is it an American film?
It is, yeah. It's got Woody Harrelson in it. It's got Brie Larson. It's a great cast. Brie Larson is the central point from which the story is told. So then the third part of it is when Brie Larson she's probably in her late 20s. She's getting married, so she has to introduce her husband to her parents. Her parents are now living in New York on the street or in empty buildings, whereas the kids are actually, they've got their own jobs. One of them's a policeman, the other one works in art. So they've all sort of escaped that parent dynamic that wasn't helping them. And then the parents come back in and Brie Larson's throwing this party and the father turns up and you just feel the darkness come into the room.
Yeah. It sounds like a very unusual structure.
It's a very interesting story. It's actually based on a true story. It's based on a book that this woman in America wrote. And if you stay through the credits, you've got the old photos and some interviews. I've got to say this about Woody Harrelson. He plays the alcoholic father in it. 9 times out of 10, most of Hollywood actors would not take this role because it's a very tough role. You don't like him from the off. He's an alcoholic father who basically doesn't care about his children, to be honest with you. He thinks he does, but he doesn't. And you hate him all the way through the film. And it is a thankless role, to be honest. So massive, massive respect for him to taking on this. And it is a great, great performance.
He probably enjoyed it because it would have been quite challenging for him.
I think so.
In an odd sort of way, perhaps he enjoyed it.
Well, absolutely. Well, there's a scene in it where he decides to go cold turkey off alcohol, and they strap him to the bed, and the kids turn up and see him going cold turkey, and it's a horrible moment to watch, and the kids are just stood there watching him. It's a tough watch. I think you've got elements of how the American dream failed a family. I think you've got elements of how some children were not allowed to be children from their parents. So it is tough, it's uncompromising, but if you're willing to give it a chance, you will find that it is a very, very well-made film.
Yeah. Sorry, what's it called again?
It's called The Glass Castle.
The Glass Castle, right. Okay, we're going to have a bit of music, and then we'll come back and talk DVDs and Blu-rays. Genesis, and Throwing It All Away, the title of that one. Mark Searby's with us today, as it's a Friday. We were talking films, we're now going to be talking Blu-rays and DVDs, although we've only got one film.
Yeah, it's a big film. It's a big film. I think we can talk about it quite a lot. Pirates of the Caribbean, number 5.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it? Have you not seen any of the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm winding you up.
Okay. I was thinking, blimey.
Yeah.
You're a... so we're now on to number 5, Salazar's Revenge, it's called.
Okay.
Did you see any of the others?
I can't remember, because there's so many of them, I can't remember which ones. I have watched at least one. I'm not a great fan of the series, but I have watched at least one. I can't remember which one it was now.
Yeah, I love the first one. It was good swashbuckling adventure. And then 2, 3, 4, number 3 was about 3 hours 10 minutes.
Is it really?
Yeah.
God.
And that's when it kind of lost me. And then number 4 I just thought was so dull, so boring, that when they said, here's number 5, I was like, no, we don't need a number 5. We're done with this franchise. Then the trailer comes out. I watch the trailer. It's quite dark. It's quite mysterious. I'm thinking, this could be completely different, actually, here. So I was curious to see it. It's actually quite pleasing to say that it's gone back to the first film's roots of a good swashbuckling adventure. It's good fun. Mainly because, and I know some people will hate this, but mainly because they kind of sideline Captain Jack Sparrow, played by Johnny Depp. They sort of sideline him a little bit, and they say, yes, I know you're the central character, but really people are bored with you, so let's put you to one side. So now, the story is mainly centred around the Trident of Poseidon, which is Captain Jack Sparrow is trying to find it, and there are a couple of other people who he joins up with. He's then chased by some old enemies, and there is a new enemy in Captain Salazar. The great thing about it is, with pushing Depp to one side, we get two new characters in here, who are more fun, more entertaining, and much more intelligent to watch than just Johnny Depp on his own. And you just think...
These are new characters.
Characters. Yeah. There's a couple of older characters who turn up a bit later on, just to sort of weigh in a little bit and, you know, make the film a little bit longer. But these are new characters. So we have this kind of adventure film through the high seas, and it's very fun. There's lots of jokes in it as well, and these two new people have got a unique set of skills each, so when they combine they work very well together. They're following this map as well, which is quite funny, because when you watch it and the way that they unfurl it and the way that they look at it reminded me of the Goonies from the 80s.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We've got this kind of 80s style Goonies adventure movie, which, hey, that's fine with me. The opening set piece, they always open with a big set piece. This one, they basically pull an entire bank vault through a town, with wild stallions. It's brilliant to look at. It's so much fun to watch. You know, it's the proper good popcorn blockbuster moments that you want. So you get that. We've still got Johnny Depp in it. At times, he's very funny. Other times, it feels like the joke's gone on too long. So, he's still doing this drunken Inspector Clouseau-type performance. Thankfully, as I said, they pushed him to one side. And I've got to make real special mention. I think I pronounced this woman's name right. Apologies if I don't. Kea Scodelario. Ooh. She's an English actress as well. But that's her name. She plays Corina Smith, so she's like the main focus. Got to say, she's fantastic. She's very funny. She's very intelligent. She's got lots of tricks up her sleeve. She actually makes Johnny Depp sit down a lot of times when he's getting overexcited. She's like, no, calm down. I'm going to take the lead. So she is the one to watch in this. Overall, I'm really impressed with this film. And I didn't expect to be. You know, it feels like they've watched the directors have watched the original film and then watched the sequels and gone, right, we don't want any of that rubbish from the sequels. We just want to go back to what was doing in the original, and we'll continue to do that and make it and update it slightly for more modern audiences. So it's a little bit darker. And talking of darkness, the Captain Salazar, he is a ghost come zombie, I guess we can describe him, played by Javier Bardem. He's great in it. He's very funny, but also quite chilling.
Okay.
So there is a little bit of scared attitude going on. So if you've got very young children, maybe just give it a watch beforehand. It does border on being a little bit too scary at times for very young children. But he's still very good in this film.
Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Salazar's Revenge.
Salazar's,
there's always an undertag to it
all.
So,
Salazar's Revenge.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you very much for coming in, and we'll see you again next Friday about 3:30.